welcome. Oh boy, that's going to be fun. It's echoing. Oh, that's me. Am I better now? Yes, I am better. Welcome to the Hour of Truth, as we seemingly, it's a new experience every week, isn't it? It's just a lot of things going on for a brain that is not necessarily equipped all the time for a lot of things going on. I have Philip Walthall here on my right. Hello. And Scott Bishop also on my right.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And lastly, James Usler out on the left.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Last but not least.
Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome, James.
Is that any better? You guys?
No. No, it's still echoing. Don't know why. So, we're here again. And what so far in the services has caught y'all's attention? James, you lead off.
Alright, well, I really liked what Scott was talking about this morning. You know, how we all have our... Whether we're husbands, we have our duty, we're wives. And something to remember. You know, he talked about husbands, why we aren't good husbands because we love ourselves. I can relate to that. And thank you all.
Yeah.
But I think that was a good message for us all. Not lose to bring the remembrance. It's really a good scripture, like you said, it covers every stage of our lives. Whether we're with a child, or the wife, or with a husband, or with a father, or none of it.
Hang on, James. I know he sounds bad. I've called him back. He's changed headphones and he's done all kinds of stuff. That's going to be the way he sounds. So I guess that's pretty much what we're with.
And then you had Steve and Charlie talking about our own righteousness, or the righteousness of Christ, and how we can get it into where we feel that we just, it utterly isn't good enough for our sins. And then we die the flood of the Lamb. Essentially.
Right. Well, as we all know, we scatter our faith around the places it ought not be. And I know, Gail, I probably guessed that that would be a problem. That's why I went to him first. So we're done for the moment with James. And we press on. It isn't his faith. It isn't our faith that saves us. It's his faith. It's his faith that the operation that the Father has put in place is adequate to the task, and he can deliver his righteousness to us because he was perfect. And, you know, we have to get have to keep reminding ourselves and choosing to avail ourselves of his presence. Where is he? He's right at hand. He's right there. He's as far away as your hand. All you got to do is grab a hold of him. He's there for everybody that receives him. He's there for every situation that we have need of. And, you know, it's like trying to convince your child that it's safe for them to go to their bedroom at night. We're in the business here of trying to give confidence to the people we minister to that it's safe to be in the hand of the Father. It's safe to be in that bed at night by yourself in your bedroom. You know, it's safe, and his protection is around you. His provision is there for you. His presence is there for you. And when it's time and you need it, his power is there for you as well. So,
along the same lines as what you're talking about, hey, I remember, with the younger children, teaching them how to swim. Right? You're standing in the water, telling them, jump, I'll catch you. I'm right here. Just jump. It's safe. Yeah. Right? And then they finally do it. They're happy, you know, and then you got to stand there all day catching them as they jump, right? And the cool thing for me was, it was, we were out at Texas, and at the time it was a little unnerving, but I was doing something up by, you know, where all the metal stuff is, and the kids were climbing up on things and doing, you know, whatever kids do, kind of like a jungle gym. And I forget which one it was. It was either Kellen or Bodie was up on, you know, one of the cattle panels, like a fence. And he's up at the top, and I'm not even looking at him. I got my back to him. You know, I'm doing something, and I hear, Dad, catch me! And as I turn around, he's in midair coming at me. Right? And I go, whoa! You know, and I caught him, you know, and said, I was like, what were you thinking? What's going on here? Why would you do such a thing? And he said, because I knew you would catch me. Whoa. But I mean, that's how we need to be with the Lord, right? Doing his work, doing his business, doing as he would have us do. Know that he is there to catch us. He's there to keep us in play.
The real deal there is getting over the fear of failing. You're going to screw up. Live with it. Move on. You're going to screw up. That's just eventually, as you get the operation down, you're going to screw up less and less. So finally you get it. But the only way you're going to get it is by unfreezing yourself from stuck in fear mode, fear of failure, to trust in him. He's well, that's great. Well, I can't do anything about that. It's the encoder keeps going. I don't have any indication of a problem, so I don't know about the auto DJ being in and out. We are constantly on here from this side. It is, so I assume I don't know what to tell you. It's paralyzing. I know the I've been there. I've had the fear of failure just make it absolutely impossible for me to move.
How many situations do we find ourselves in, you know, every day or whichever, where we get to a point we don't know precisely what to do, we're paralyzed, and we just stop and shut down, when really moving forward and doing something?
It's the knowledge that the Lord's bigger than that. It doesn't matter what the deal is. The Lord's bigger than that. And you just, when you can wrap your mind around the fact that it's failing when you're trying to serve and please the Lord, is something that's going to happen because you're not there. You know, you're trying to learn this stuff. He's not, you know, penalize you for failing. He's sitting there giving you the instructions on how to do it again. Do it again.
Sure. He's going to penalize you for not doing. As long as you do something.
There for you is unbelief and fear. And those two feed off each other. And that's, I suppose that we've all had that experience with the paralysis of fear. It's it will stay there until it's challenged.
It will.
And somebody brings a word to you and says, just got to choose to ignore that and go on. You have to choose to ignore that, rebuke it, and go on. I am sitting 2 inches away from the mic. All right. I'm right on the mic, right?
You are right on the mic.
Right.
We'll get through it.
But, you know, with one of the things... No, he's perfectly content to sit over there and let me tank. That's okay. The thing that keeps coming to my mind is the instruction, you're raising your own little family army. And, you know, each father is a general. And you're preparing your kids to learn how to obey you so that they can learn how to obey. And Scott's gone. James is gone. You're trying to teach them to be able to obey you so that they can obey their authority in the Lord as an adult and obey the Lord himself as an adult.
Sure.
It's basic training. It's boot camp.
In order to be able to do that, I mean, as a man, you need to be that general.
Yeah.
You got to be on it. You got to be able to give instruction, to give orders, to set the tone, to make that direction known of what needs to be done.
Alrighty.
And if you're not doing that,
right,
you don't have a unit.
Well, I know one of the things that what I do with my children is one of the things is to they keep pointing them to the gospel, in the sense of you got count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And the reason is because we get off track, we screw up, but the important thing is to get your eyes back on the Lord. get back on Jesus and go forward. What happens when you do that is you build a faith and a confidence in His grace, His mercy, and His covering. And what happens when you turn to the Lord, Steve talked about it a little bit, when you turn to the Lord, is that your faith starts to build. Just like the example of what I was going through and the situation that I was going through and all this, and I, you know, turned unto the Lord and He moved, He delivered. And what that builds a faith, that builds a faith on what He is able to do. I know that when you turn to the Lord, it's always a good thing. It's a never failing thing.
Right.
Is it? Even if the biggest screw up you have made, I mean, you turn that thing unto the Lord and watch what He's able to do. What you start doing, you start building confidence. Your children starts building the confidence. You know, Dad, I screwed this up. I didn't do it as you said. And, you know, well, yeah, that's why I told you to do it that way. But that's all right. Let's do it. Where can we go from here? Let's move forward from here. Let's not give up. That's the last thing I want my children to do, is give up. I've done that my whole life. I want to break that for my kids. And no, I'm not perfectly happy letting you just hang out there and dry. Sometimes I don't have anything to say, just to clarify that. But that is the thing. I mean, you take a look at David, and I remember going over a psalm with him, and I was in Psalm 31, and it says, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness." You know, we put our trust in the Lord. He is able. David, if David kept calling on the Lord, read the Psalms. He keeps calling on the Lord, calling on the Lord, calling on the Lord. The next verse says, "Bow down to me." What does it say? It says, "Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily." Why? Because he expected that the Lord would deliver him, and he knew that the Lord could. And he had hope that he would. And what you find is that he will, when you do put your trust in him. He will deliver. He will see you through the other side. That, to me, is one of the biggest things for me to portray across anybody. And to my children. By nature, I'm one that gives up, gives away, runs away from the situation. Lord's bigger in our situations, and the Lord's bigger in our screw-ups, and the Lord's bigger than our shortcomings. He's bigger than all that. And what gets glorified in the midst of that is Him and His gospel. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Is that a yes or a no?
He's playing the silent partner now. It's his radio. They can't see hand motions and head nods and that kind of thing.
Well, I didn't know if you were saying yes to what I was saying, or no to what I was saying, and or no to the mic.
The wonderful thing is that the Lord not brought you here to have you fail. And, you know, to get over, to cross over to that place where you come from, you go from somebody who knows the Word, basically believes the Word is the Word, and, you know, believes in Jesus, to becoming the one that believes on Jesus and is about the business of Jesus' business, where you're about the business of pleasing the Father, just like Jesus was. When you cross over to that and you start actually get, I can't identify, you know, the point at which I became concerned about how does this please the Father. But that's got to be the motivating factor. When that's what you're after in the same way Jesus was after it, then that's really when you have the promise delivered to you that even when you fail, it's all right, just move on. Even when you fail, that's all right, just move on. Because that's how the Father is.
Well, there's a scripture that comes to my mind. I don't know if I'm going to say the scripture, but what is unpleasing to the Father? Mm-hmm. What is it? Unbelief. I mean, what is unpleasing?
Unpleasing. Yeah, well.
Is unbelief. Well, I mean, didn't that why the children of Israel didn't, the first generation didn't enter into the promised land?
Right. I was going to use them as an example of a command structure set up by, you know, God himself. And they never honored it from the top down. They never agreed with it. They always murmured against it, you know. And that's how you see all these people coming out of their churches and stuff, and they don't act any different than that. Heck, sometimes I don't act any different than that. I'm not, it's just, you know.
There's too many times I like to admit that I act any different than that. However, what happens, like when I was talking about the falling down, getting back up, looking unto the Lord again, what happens? What does that show? A belief in Him. Because if we didn't get back up, repent unto the Lord, and go forward yet again, that shows faith in Him, belief in Him. Because if we didn't, we would never get back up. It's like David would never ask the Lord to deliver him if he didn't think he would.
Right.
We'd never get back up if we didn't think the Lord would deliver.
Right.
I would have never called Steve if I didn't think the Lord would deliver. I knew I was in a situation. I needed deliverance. Made a phone call. That's the same. Well, that's what I want for my children. And what that shows is a faith in Him, a belief in Him. You know, during the revival. It was a beautiful thing, and Charlie was preaching on in James, where he says, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." I believe that was the reference he was going on. And he was talking about how Satan, the accuser, is there to accuse the saints. And when you fall, take your eyes off the Lord, you fall down, slip away to divers lust, whatever the case may be. And Satan goes to the Lord and says, "See, look at you, sir." But when you put your eyes on Him and you count it all joy when you fell, because you trust and put your faith back in Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of His blood, Jesus turns and looks to Satan and says, "Yeah, you see, he believes. He believes in me. Believes in my gospel."
Yeah. That's right. I had so much of this talking about this stuff kind of reminds me of my grandmother. My grandmother's a piece of work. You know, they built their house during the Depression, and they built it out of scraps they found from other demolitions and stuff that it really was put together by pieces of stuff they picked up from trash piles. And every time, you know, they would run across somebody was pitching some tin away or something like that, they would grab that tin and they'd take it. Oh, she had a stack of tin out in the backyard. And, of course, every time I came near it, I had a leg gash. Or I'd trip and fall and put a gash across my chest or across my face or something. The tin and me were bloody brothers, blood brothers. But she, and I don't know if it was her intention, it was just, she couldn't help it. But, you know, she would keep drilling into me like some of the proverbs, spare rod, spoiled child, those kind of things. And she wouldn't spare the rod, let me tell you. The rod came from, you go out and pick you a switch, because you're about to get it, and it better be a good one, or else I'll go out and do it myself, and I'll bring one you won't want to see. So, I mean, that was how she was. But, you know, she was always singing to the Lord, making stuff up on the fly, you know. And I had, you know, from a really early age, an expectation of his reality and his existence, because all the time I spent with my grandmother. And you know, you as you get older, you see that not a whole lot of that expectation and that fear, the contemplation of dying and being in heaven and that kind of thing. I was doing that at 5 years old. I don't know. There's a whole lot of 5 year olds out here that have that kind of concept and stuff going on in their minds from the drilling in consistently from their parents or their grandparents. The good thing is, while it did not appear to be bearing fruit from that in 1960, it was setting a foundation for later years. And there's a lot of stuff that you can be doing, a lot of teaching and instruction you can be doing to people that just turns out they're not ready yet. And that's where long suffering comes in. That's where patience comes in. That's you keep putting the word out there, but my grandmother persevered. I mean, she kept doing it. She kept doing it. She kept doing it. She had to knock down and drag out arguments with my mother about, you know, the existence of God and all this kind of stuff. But you're just an old nutbag. You know, that kind of thing. And I'm not really sure how any of that related to anything that we've been discussing, but it does relate to the little military unit that you have in your house. And you're laying the foundation that the Lord can make use of. Whether you see it unfold before you or not, the prophet will be there, because the Lord is good. And He hadn't brought you here to have you fail. And, you know that, you know, through history, there has been a grandmother like that. It's like there's been somebody who preceded you, who's been praying for you, has been been doing everything they can to put the fear of the Lord in you and the instruction of, in the Word to you. They have been about the business of laying the foundation and being faithful to the Lord, trying to please the Lord and deliver you to Him. And, you know, when you start back, you start thinking about that. It really gets to be a humbling thing because it isn't about you. It's about the Lord. And it's about the Lord's grace extending to you through somebody before you. It's neat to have an understanding of how it's worked. There's probably somebody in everybody's life that has been laying that foundation before them. And the Lord is good. He was making preparations for you before you knew Him. That's the nature, that's the character of the God we serve. And it's we're just all about the business of trying to become more perfect in our service to Him. Operating more with the mind that was also in Christ Jesus. Out of Philippians. We thought it not robbery. Yeah, look here, I'm hoping they're Philippians. I ought to not try to do this one from memory. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, and being
over on the counter. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. That was the mind of Jesus Christ was the people that He was there to minister to were more important to Him in the pleasing of His Father than being taking credit for it was. He didn't want any credit for it. He does what the Father tells him to do, and he says what the Father gives him to say, and he delivers to those the Lord gives him. The Father gives him. So, pardon me.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That means take care of other people. See to it. Be proactively keeping them from being stiff. You know, keeping them from the enemy, from evil. Provoking them to love and good works. Exhorting them. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he was in the form of God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. With the full experience of the range of all his infirmities and shortcomings and the emotions and everything else that we had. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, why does it say that? Even the death of the cross. It says that because that was a criminal's death. That was the death of a criminal. And he was innocent.
Absolutely. And he became obedient. And it goes down to that point, too, that he did this out of choice.
Right.
He wasn't forced in the sense of what we think
he laid down
in his life. Right.
They didn't take it from him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What he's talking about there is this, nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Jesus' comfort wasn't about what he was about. Jesus was about the aid and comfort and ministry, ministering to, healing, loving those who came to him and received him. When you let this mind be in you, then it's a whole lot easier to set your affections on things that are above when you agree to have this mind in you. Ask for this mind to be in you. You can operate in those things. The choice is to set your affections on things that are above and not, and move it all the rest of the way through that chapter 3 in Colossians to the family structure and the little military units you got going on there, and them learning about the chain of commands and, you know, issuing orders and taking orders and going through training and that kind of thing. Some of this are choices and some of this is just instruction, but it's all about belief, and the belief is that he is able and willing. Because he hasn't brought you here to fail, to deliver you in that day blameless before the Father. Because he is faithful. Gail says 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. So, you know, that does really come to mind about what I was saying, Gail. Assuming that's Gail. I don't know. I'm hoping that's Gail, because I just said that. It's either Gail or Scott. It can't be anybody else, huh? Not on that particular post. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. He humbled himself as a man and died the death for everyone. And then God exalted him. The Father exalted him. because he finished the job. He said, it is finished. He knew what the job was, and he knew he had completed it. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's from the low of the cross to the exaltation. From now on, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Whether you believe it or not, you're gonna know it. And your tongue is gonna confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because that glorifies the Father. Amen. What? Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And what we're involved with here is you're in a gathering of people that are helping one another work out their own salvation in fear and trembling. And there's a certain skill you look at, you acquire by having the mind, is the skill of not giving somebody necessarily the thing that might be the natural thing to give them that eases their distress or whatever, but giving them what they need, which is the Word. Giving them something that they can deliver to themselves with the knowledge of the Word, the exhortation of the Word, the promise of the Word. Reminding them how good the Lord is. Reminding them how far they've come to this point, and the Lord has shown up for them at every turn. That assurance, that exhortation, that he's still there, he's still with them. It's a lot easier sometimes to try and relieve the situation they may be in, but that's not profitable for them. Might be easier for you, but it's not profitable for them. And we, as people in this gathering, love one another that way, because that is our job, is to have people be profitable in the Lord, have them learn and be able to serve the Lord. That's profitable for them. And, you know, it is not always abundantly readily apparent to the casual observer. But that's what's going on here. That's why the commitment of devotion and patience, not being moved by all of the cares of the world and all the other attacks and assaults of the enemy and the nature of that carnal thing that you still have strapped to your back, none of that stuff is going to drag you off that course. Alright, it's time for somebody else to say something. My voice is tired. Say something.
Something.
Say something else.
Alright. I don't know, man. I was looking at that where every... And I don't know for sure, but in that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, I was looking at should and shall, the difference between the two. And as you were going over that, and I could very much well be wrong, but I was looking at that should. I mean, that should be the case. I mean, because the Lord's good, and He came down, and He gave His life for the sins of the whole world. And
that we should.
That we should. But it doesn't mean that everybody's going to. But
interesting point.
You know, I bring that up because many times I remember saying it as shall. You know, I remember going through it in Philippians Bible study, and that was pointed out the should part.
That's one of the bad things about having learned some, committed some scriptures to memory in another version. That wasn't the King James. Most of what I have had committed to memory was the King James. But that one is not. Well, that's a shortcoming. Because if you're going to quote something right, you ought to be quoting it the way it appears in the King James Version.
Well, I think you said you read it as should,
yeah.
But the inclination seemed to be shall.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring that up. That was it. That's the only thing that came to mind in the midst of that. But because
it still stands. Every knee.
At some point, every one of us, believer or not, is going to be in that throne room standing before Him, and you will know that He is who He says He is.
Everybody will be brought to account. Absolutely. I mean, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to happen. But that time will be too late for you to be bowing your knee. And, right. You know, in the sense of obedience unto Him at that point.
Because it's too late.
Right now, you should get it right. You have an opportunity now. Now, if you choose not to, well, that's your own deal.
Well, that's where it's just going to be too late.
Right now, we're under grace. We have the ability to partake in grace. Then we won't.
For those of you that probably didn't hear James because of the echo, he said that right now we have grace and we have the opportunity to make the choice, and then we will not. So now is the time.
And that echo is worse than it was before.
And, you know, but those that stood up and would not humble themselves and take on the gift of God, those will be cut down. And,
just like in the desert.
Yeah.
What's that verse? I think Jesus said, you know, he that will be servant of all will be greatest.
And who that will be greatest of all will be the servant of all? Is that how it goes? Or the chiefest among you shall be servant of all?
I don't remember where it is, or I'd pull it out and read it, but
but Christ came as a servant.
Yeah.
And no matter what he had going on, if there was somebody that needed to be ministered to, he did. And he ministered in truth and in love. And each of us is called to do the same. Whether that be in your household, whether that be at your workplace, whether that be out in the world. We are to walk as Jesus walked. So even when it's inconvenient, even when you think you're in a hurry and you think you got something going on that's far more important than anything else.
So how did Jesus walk? He walked doing what the Father had for him to do.
He only spoke the things that the Father told him to speak and do the things that the Father told him to say. Or to do, sorry.
That's what we're about to be in this trying to, learning to do. Learning to have that mindset that we do only what the Father gives us to do. That would be walking as Jesus walked.
You know, I don't know if that's a point to really bring up, but, and that might look different what the Lord has Scott doing than what he'd have me be doing, because we're not one body, we're all members of his body.
That's why it says work out your own salvation.
Right.
It's not necessarily going to look the same.
I mean, the heart's pumping blood. The hand's picking up a tool. The foot is to keep taking you to the place. Your eye is seeing the information and giving it to your brain. But it's one purpose to do.
Aren't doing the same thing necessarily. They're just coming together in a uniform purpose.
Right. And that's what it looks like. I mean, and it, the whole body does what? The Father's will, which is what? Love God, love one another. And you gotta, I mean, you go into a whole nother subject on that. But, you know, you go to Corinthians and, you know, you're talking about comparing themselves amongst themselves. It's not wise, because that which the evangelists might be out there in the world, you know, going from place to place, or out there in the nation going from place to place, pastor might be sitting down at one place. Feeding the flock, yeah. But one purpose, though. It's loving God, loving one another. It's all about the Father's business. One purpose.
And, you know, Carter really nails it. There's probably a place where we can wrap Acts 4:12. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking right at it, and I've said it wrong three times. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is the power of the name Jesus. That is the power of the name Jesus. And he God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should have everlasting life. Should.
I remember going over something with, I think it was with Kat last night, just a point that, and I forget pertaining to exactly what part in the scripture was it, but it was the salvation of God is only by what Jesus Christ did.
Yeah.
That's it. Not because I'm sitting here doing a Bible study with her when I was telling her. Or not because, you know, so-and-so did this or so-and-so did that or because of this or these kinds of things. No, but because of all what Jesus Christ did. It's all because of what he did.
All right, well, it's been an interesting hour. Thank you, James. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
Say goodbye.
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 You got Darth Vader on the other end there, boy. Goodbye, everybody.
Sound like you boys in a cave. All right. Y'all have a really great week. Remember, the Texas service is coming up at the top of the hour, and we will see you next time right here on the Hour of Truth and the Eagle Radio Network.